am special guest.
Eric Hawk from Portugal the Man.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Power Motion Picnic Hour. As always, I'm your host, Dave, and as always, alongside me across the internet is your other host,
Trevor.
Trevor, what's going on? How are you?
I'm always just trying to say my name as quickly as possible. I feel like there's often a delay.
You're pretty good at seemingly turning two syllables into one.
Well, it's a good way to start. It's a nice tradition.
Yeah, we got to give people come here for a little bit of familiarity, a little comfort, a little calm.
Yeah, yeah.
So we want to be reliable. It's kind of like why you go on a run. Some people are probably listening while they're running.
Yeah. And I think you've been doing some running.
Been doing a little running. I ran a nice little 10K around Manhattan and Brooklyn just a few hours ago.
It looked fast. You showed it to me and it looked fast.
It's fast for me. I ran like 8.5 minute miles.
So. That's really nice.
Yeah, I felt good, and I ran over two bridges. So those are nice little hills. It was really fun. So I guess I don't know. I'm feeling good. Have you been doing any running lately?
I've been doing some running. I've been doing mostly like slow running, and I can share some of that. But I will say I look back on my like faster running, and I was like, oh, that was pretty cool. Like the run that you just did, like when I would have been doing something similar back in the day, like that was fun, and you know, something to kind of like build back to.
Sure.
Yeah.
The app that now tells me how fast I run. Told me that was my third fastest 10K, but I don't record most of my runs, so don't, you know, let's not be presumptuous. App that you're not going to name.
And even in that world, you're doing what feels right. You're not like going out and being like, I'm going to see how fast I can run a 10K.
I'm not even doing what feels right. I'm doing like this version of urban running where, like, for instance, you get to the Williamsburg Bridge and this can happen anywhere, but this happened multiple times. And like you're catching somebody, right? Like you're running, you're overcoming someone, but you're not that much faster than them. Mm-hmm. So like there's this moment where you're kind of running with them, and this moment where you're running half a step ahead of them. And then in those moments, I kind of try to just really get past them. So like I end up running faster than I would otherwise at a lot of segments. There's no reverse version of that. Like if somebody's like flying by me, I don't like slow down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily go both ways. But anyway, yeah. So I wasn't doing what feels right. I was just I was just running.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think recently I've heard a lot of people being inspired by the what feels right sort of mantra.
Oh, interesting.
I've heard it from a couple listeners that have been very into your do what feels right mantra.
Well, I would just advise to be careful to not let that creep into other areas of life and end up being a total moral relativist with no grounding towards any morality or sense of right and wrong. But as long as we're keeping it to just running, I'd say go for it and enjoy yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Go enjoy yourselves. You know, yeah, the podcast is in the ear of the beholder, as the case may be.
Exactly. We're here for you. So please, please, as always, hit us up in the mailbag for any questions or questionable running advice. And we'll talk more about running at the end of this episode, because I did have a lot of cool runs lately. But maybe we should get to our really awesome talk we had. We had a great guest, Eric Hawk from Portugal the Man, joined us.
We have a great guest. We have a lot of ambulation to talk about, both with Eric and sort of on the tail end. And we just thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much. Let's go to that talk now.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
You're going to be like totally optimized though, and like at a higher quality probably than us.
Is that right? I don't know. Is it? Does it look all right?
It looks great.
It's a 5-year-old computer that does a lot of work. So
nice. Computers got good enough several years ago.
I just scored an entire film on this poor computer. in the last 5 months, and brother, it is running hot.
That's
It's
cool.
doubling as a heating unit.
No, I've done so much in the recording universe, but like the video component just makes all those files like sizes that you can't even conceptualize. You know, it's just massive, massive files going back and forth all day. So it was fun, but yeah.
That's awesome. And you did some of the soundtrack for Full Circle too, right?
Yeah, so that was a very cool kind of training wheels for me because that was somebody else's score. I came in and was like had a bow on it.
You were like hired
I was what
gun.
you'd call. I was no, it was like a featured performer, I think is how
Okay.
they called
Okay.
it. So came in, the music's all written, it's got a bow on it, it's perfect, and I just got to noodle around over the top of it with synthesizers and guitars, so that was very cool because it gave me so much insight into seeing what goes into the actual score without me having to like carry the brunt, you know. So this last one I just did is another disability doc. It's about a guy named Ian MacKaye, not the guy from Fugazi,
I was
but
gonna say,
different.
good
Not
name
that dude.
recognition.
Equally punk. He's this awesome sort of adventurer, Northwest, high level quad who lives out by the Olympic Discovery Trail in Washington.
Okay.
So part of his like getting back into the world was just doing these like, you know, hikes into the woods, in a power chair that he controls with his mouth. He's completely quadriplegic. Everything's sort of gesture based, and then it's what they call a sip and puff wheelchair. So you blow out or into a tube to determine your speed, your direction, all that kind of stuff. So he starts doing these longer and longer solo trips, and then he Googles, you know, what's the longest someone's gone in one of these things? And he finds a guy in Japan that did 170 miles in 24 hours, and he's like, piece of cake. So this dude did 184 motherfucking miles in a mouth-controlled power chair, and the story is so much more than that. That's kind of, you know, the Trojan horse for the storytelling, but this is kind of an extraordinary person, and it's a hero's journey. So it was a really, really fun project to work on. Happened right down the road for me too, which I didn't even know until I got a rough cut of the film, and I'm like, my house is in those hills. That is crazy.
That's
But
super cool. Yeah, my oldest son uses a wheelchair, and we used to take him out on hikes with like this sort of off-road wheelchair that he could kind of like do a rowing motion to sort of help with some of it, but it's been hard to figure out how to do it independently. So that's super cool to like hear that this guy like is able to do that in a full power chair.
His direct quote from the film is, "Your ability does not determine your ambition." It's a crazy story, and I've followed your son and you and some of the stuff you did. I saw you guys got a Rio Firefly recently.
Oh yeah.
That's
We
awesome.
love that thing. He definitely takes that to the
I have the Dragonfly, which is the cranky
limit.
guy,
Nice,
and it's
nice.
awesome on the flatlands, but the second that you encounter an incline, like none of your center of gravity is over that wheel, so you got to work like 10 times harder just to like scamper up those hills. How's the Firefly on that?
He needs a push from behind on that stuff, on like any loose gravel, whenever it gets loose, whenever it's not like total hard pack on an incline, he probably needs like a little push from behind.
Totally.
Because I also think he needs more weight to bear down on it too, which might actually help in some ways.
I wondered if the battery pack and stuff would be enough, but probably not enough to really get meaningful grip on those things. There's all
Yeah.
kinds of geometry solutions you can do, like moving your axle backwards, forwards, all that kind of stuff.
That's
You know,
cool. That's cool.
you kick it back, and all of a sudden your front gets way heavier. So there's, you got to figure, you know, I don't know what kind of a chair he has, but it's like, does a knuckle busting adjustment on the axle that takes like 30 minutes benefit you meaningfully in terms of grip for your trail ride? And then do you need that sort of adjustability in your life to get up and down curbs? So it's a formula. It's all science.
Yeah, that's cool. And we on this particular podcast, we like to think about running as this broad spectrum, and we really more like celebrate sort of all types of ambulation. So, curious kind of like your thoughts on running, and you did agree to join a running podcast.
I sure did. Yeah.
Yeah, what's your perspective?
I'm a touring musician, been a touring musician for 25 years. I've been a wheelchair user for 18 of those years. And I am fairly confident that the best way to get an idea of the city that you're in on any particular night is to play your show and then right afterwards go out the door and go into the night and go, push your way around some deserted midnight streets. I think it's great. It was the cool down process for me and a couple other guys in the group, and it's just a great way to get the sense of, the city and the layout of it. So,
Yeah, we've had that perspective from a couple other touring musicians, so it checks out. Otherwise, you just see in the back of the venue, right?
you're just seeing the meat and cheese and veggie trays and the fluorescent lights and the lewd graffiti. But if
Yeah.
you actually get out there into the night, like you see all kinds of incredible things. And I am very much an amateur. I know there's guys like Ben Gibbard that have just
Yeah,
like
yeah.
turned that cooling down process into like ultra marathon status. It's really something.
Yeah,
But
he's quite the runner, isn't he? And you don't happen to know Dave Rawlings, do you?
no.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, tell me.
We have to ask because we've decided season five doesn't end until we get Rawlings on the show.
Yeah.
But
I
but
know the name. Who is that guy?
he plays with Gillian Welch. They're musical partners. I think they're life partners too, but they're definitely partners of, in some way. Definitely more like traditional, sort of like folk country type stuff.
I think I know exactly who that is. I just didn't want to presume, but cool, right
I don't
on.
know if he runs or ambulates or leaves the venue after a show.
It's
I don't know what he does, but we want to find out.
hard, man. It's easy to fall into the traps and straight from the venue to the bus sounds pretty good a lot of nights. I got all my stuff in my bunk there and I'm tired and I've had a full day, but it is that like last little bit of juice that you have that kind of helps make the whole thing keep going.
That's
There's
cool.
also sometimes the experience of when you get to a venue, play a show, and have to leave immediately on like on the van or the bus, depending on what level you're at. But either regardless, you just have to. I'm gonna be in Kansas City soon, and I was just reminiscing about the last time I was there. It was as a musician, and yeah, we drove from far away to Kansas City, played a gig, and then drove. We had to go far, so we just left.
Yeah, I mean that's usually the case, and it's always an overnight endeavor. You'd think it's interesting you bring up the levels of like where you're at if it's a van or a bus. A lot of times those managers, they'll trick you into thinking that the bus is like some luxurious upgrade, but that just means that you're never going to see a hotel again for the rest of your life. It's you're sleeping on I-80 tonight, and the driver's, four Monster Energy drinks deep, chain smoking.
Oh yeah, it's simultaneously an upgrade from the van and a downgrade from the Hampton Inn.
It's got they got a little dish of apples on the front at least.
Oh wait, what's the one that gives you a cookie when you get there? Is that the Double Tree?
That's Holiday Inn. That's a IHG
That's
situation.
when someone gives you a cookie, it's just that's nice.
They always ask you, do you want the reward points or do you want the I always take the
Yeah, instant gratification.
Exactly.
Do you have any favorite cities or favorite particular memories from exploring post show or even pre show?
It's funny that you bring up Kansas City. I you think of the Midwest as this like real nice flat kind of, prairies and plains, but Kansas City gets steep as shit. So the last time we were in Kansas City, we were playing somewhere kind of low down on the river, and I pushed my little butt all the way up to the Power and Light District, up to that like big overlook park.
Oh man.
And it's beautiful. You feel like you go through six complete different flavors of city in one town. But for like a for a night roll, I always like being surprised. I always like kind of being flabbergasted. The last time I was in Indianapolis, like they have an entire sort of like wharfy boardwalk situation that runs along the river, and there's like the Kurt Vonnegut Museum off to the
Oh,
side,
that's
like all
cool.
this modern architecture and like really smooth paths and trails, and it was like Pin drop quiet at night, stars were out in a city of a million people. I was amazed by that.
It's funny you mentioned Indianapolis. I usually use that as an example of my least favorite city. Sorry, Indianapolis
No,
listeners.
look, man, I hate the fucking Pacers. All right,
There is a killer jazz bar in Indianapolis, though.
there's a killer everything in Indianapolis, but that's why I use the term surprised by, because I used to have a bit of a personal vendetta that was only founded on 90s NBA against Indianapolis. And subsequent visits have really kind of turned me onto the place. I'm like, this is like someone's idea of a slightly better Chicago in the year 2030.
Yeah, I gotta get back.
I am not paid by the Indiana Tourism Board or Bird or any of them, but
Not
here we
yet. I mean, after they hear this episode, that might change.
Indianapolis.
You gotta score the new Indianapolis commercial.
It's a great place to stroll. I just being surprised, having weird interactions with people that are up too late, or I've definitely had my Forrest Gump moments in some of those. Like the last time we were in Minneapolis, played a big show, and it was a rare night that we did have a hotel room. We were doing a flyout gig, so I hung around for a while, and then I sneak out the back door and I go past the hotel, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna take this bike lane and see how far it goes. So in my street clothes, drenched in sweat, post show, I just start pushing as fast as I can in a straight direction. And a couple of people come up on like Lime bikes, rented bikes beside me, and they're like, dude, that was a kick-ass show. I'm like, dude, thanks so much. They're like, where are you going? I'm like, I have no idea. They're like, can we come? I'm like, yeah. And then at some point, it's the three of us, and they whistle to some of their other friends that are on like a scooter. So then we just get like this, 8-person posse cruising through Minneapolis, and I'm like, where should we go? And they're like, what do you want to see?
That's
So
some
it was a great little tour.
really nice running. I mean, that's unique. That's cool.
I'm a big believer in they make all kinds of crazy adaptive chairs and recumbent kind of wheelchair situations and Speedy Boy stuff. I'm a big fan of leaving the venue exactly as I'm dressed and just getting my hands dirty and
Just
doing
going.
it. Kind
Nice.
of more of a egalitarian approach to exercise, I think, because not everyone can have access or afford those things. So I'm a big fan of like anytime I do any sort of like 5 or 10K or half marathon, I do it in the same chair that, I go to the grocery store. And so big fan in that kind of like leveling of the playing field.
Totally.
That's cool. I mean, I do love all the fancy pants gear, but no, you're right. And it feels like it can be limiting, like for a lot of people for access. And if you look back to the old days, like Larry Bird was playing in Chuck Taylor's, right? Shout out
Totally.
in Indiana.
Rolling those ankles. Hey, Jay,
Exactly. Yeah,
he's
ending
from
his.
Indianapolis. He's from French Lick. He gets a
Yeah.
pass.
There's like the joke about running that like, oh, well, all you need is a pair of sneakers, right? And then you can be a runner. But then it's like, oh, but I just need this like running gear and this watch and like this and that. And in like the world of adaptive, it's like, if you go in that direction, it's like, oh, I just need my like everyday chair and then also this like $20,000 like contraption to do like one specific thing really well. It's just like it gets crazy.
I just need my regular chair, and then in 5 years, I'll need like a $20,000 orthopedic surgery from Philadelphia. There are access barriers with the stuff, but I also fully accept that it's a necessity for a lot of people that got to get out and go with limited dexterity or hand strength. There's, all kinds of stuff like the dragonfly or the firefly. There's so many upstarts of companies that are doing really, really cool stuff, and I'm on board with all of it. But for me, in my means, I'm a working class guy. Get in what you got and go scoot. Go work that
Yeah.
burger.
Love that. Well, actually, before we forget, because this is the episode that we've gone pretty far and we've forgotten to ask you to Just please kindly say your name and introduce yourself. We're now like, I don't know.
Nice wipe. We're starting from here.
Well, not
Hi,
really, but
everybody. This is Eric Hawk from Portugal the Man. How the hell are you?
My religion is a piano hanging over my head, about to break free. And I see it moving. Gotta pick up the group and let go. Everyone I know is running from the afterlife.
It's pretty damn good.
You want another one?
You've done that. You've done that before. That was really good.
Once or twice. You want a variety of them, or
I'd love. Do you have like different takes for like different types of shows?
Just let it be known. We're going to keep them all in, though. If you do multiple ones,
for the record, the podcast started 18 minutes ago.
I figured as much. I see this meeting is being recorded. I think the only other one I have is just the question mark of like, this is Eric Hawk from Portugal, the man.
Oh, I like that one. That's gonna do well with our listeners.
That's good. And we actually feature one at the beginning and end. So now we have two really nice clips of you saying your name.
Hell yeah. Where are you guys where are you based out of?
I'm in New York City, and then
And I'm in Sudbury, Massachusetts, which is a little west of Boston.
Cool.
Yeah. Great. I'm in Chinatown. Where are you calling in from? You're in the Northwest.
We're in the Northwest, yeah. I grew up in Alaska, and then I spent a whole bunch of years in the Seattle area, and then got married, and the wife and I gave Tacoma, Washington, a bit of a trial. We were there for a year in this like really, really cool house, and then we realized that we had the nicest house in kind of a rough neighborhood, which isn't always what you want. So we have since moved to the deep, deep, deep woods northwest of Portland, Oregon. So
that's cool.
Close to a town called Scappoose. We're basically like up above the Columbia River. So we can, our house is pointed directly at Mount St. Helens. We got a view of that from our living room. And we're like pretty much at the end of the Oregon Trail. Like we kind of feel like we're on the Oregon Trail. We're up a big, gnarly logging road, big gravel, third of a mile driveway, and just up here in the trees.
Sounds rad. How far are you from that beach where like Goonies was?
Oh yeah. So the road that we're on that I can kind of see from my hill, if you stay on that turns into Main Street, and you would just go 45 miles and you get to Astoria, and you can see the Goonies house right off that road.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The new owner's cool. The old owners were dicks.
Oh,
the old owners wanted nothing to do with the fanfare or the lore. They had signs all over their property that were like, no Goonies, stay out. The new guy is a total dork who repainted it back to Goonies spec. He drives a DeLorean around.
Oh, so, sweet.
Yeah, we're Instagram pals. I can't remember his name right now, but shout out to Goonies guy.
We'll tag him.
Cool.
In some ways, the old owner was almost like the villains from the movie.
Totally, yeah, absolutely. Oh God, what were their names? There's a band named after that.
I've never seen it actually, despite being like I'm like the perfect age to have seen it.
I was going
to
say, how old are you, bro?
43. That's the age to see Goonies. Yeah,
you are the target demographic.
Yeah, I was left home that day. I don't know. It was cruel and unusual.
I'm fortunate to have now watched Goonies with my kids quite recently. So that was fun.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's kind of a rough rewatch as an adult because it's just kids yelling at kids in the whole movie.
They all are. They all are. The rewatches from 80s and 90s actually. My oldest son is really into like Cats and. Do you guys know like actual cats? Oh, like he just like we have a cat. He loves the cat. Anyway, he likes to like give the cat toys and stuff. And I had the thought, oh, I'll show him the Will Ferrell SNL sketch. Have you guys seen that where he like is this cat executive and they like bring these cat toys out and it's like him and Vince Vaughn and they're like, does it play? And like, you know, it's hilarious. And
that was his, I think that was his audition.
Yeah.
Was it?
I saw him talking about that. Yeah.
Yeah. That character was his SNL audition of just like the.
So like hilarious, yeah. Right.
It's great.
I play it for my son and I don't know if you guys remember this part of it, but every like intervening part between the cat play, they just make like bro jokes and like gay jokes to each other. They just
Oh
call
no.
each other, they just like call each other like bad, like, you know, slurs, like in like a 90s sort of way.
I was gonna
And
say, yeah,
it's
they call each other 90s words.
90s, they use a bunch of 90s words. And so I'm watching this with my 10-year-old son, and I'm like, oh, like, whoops. Like, this was
Bro.
not, yeah, need to remember to check these things, because the old stuff, you know, you just forget that about it.
That happened when
Yeah,
I
no, we.
rewatched, yeah, Bill and Ted's. There was an unexpected 90s word.
There's an F-bomb right in it. I know, dude.
Yeah,
It
I was
my heart.
surprised. It was kind
Yeah.
of towards the end too, I think. So like,
Totally. Like they
yeah.
could like, that could have got cut out. And it's like in a triumphant, like hugging, cool moment. That's like,
Yeah.
yeah. Breaks your heart.
Yeah. It's sad
There
enough.
is, I'll tell you what, there is one slur at the end, at the very, very end of Encino Man, but then there's immediate retribution and payback for it. Encino Man kind of rises above the rest.
That's
You're
good.
not
That's
counting
good.
gazungas as a slur,
Oh, Betty.
or
Yep.
weasel? Okay, yeah, I gotta
Gotta wheeze.
rewatch that
Everyone's gotta wheeze the juice every now and then.
one. That one was great. But as for Bill and Ted, do you know the two of them, Keanu and Alex Winter, they're doing Waiting for Godot in New York.
Oh my
Isn't that
God.
amazing?
That's incredible.
I really want to go. It's so I think it's opening in like a week or something. I saw like a Subway ad and I was like, that can't be real, but it is real.
God bless Keanu Reeves, man. He's just the best we got.
They're doing it for like 3 months too. Like it's like you think it's like a 3 week run, right? Like they're dead serious about it, and like I think it's like I don't think it's crazy expensive, but it's not cheap either, you know? Yeah.
It's kind of like one of those Val Kilmer, Mark Twain, The Life and Times kind of situation.
I don't
Like,
know. I didn't see that.
oh yeah, Val Kilmer was doing like a one man spoken The Life and Times of Mark Twain thing just because the guy really loved Mark Twain. So he dressed as Mark Twain and like, he wanders out into a spotlight and he looks up to the crowd and he's like, "Well, hello there. Didn't hear you come in. Glad you stopped by." And he stays in character for the whole thing because he
Oh,
commits to the bit.
that's all you want.
That's it.
I was in a hotel room recently. I think it was last week, and I was trying to get some work done. I put on the TV for like background noise, and Tombstone was on, and so I just watched Tombstone.
Dude, we watched
Nice.
Tombstone 4 nights ago. No joke.
Yeah. Oh, it's great, right?
It's incredible. What a cast. What an
Oh,
ensemble. No, it's
Heston shows
fantastic.
up. Yeah.
We watched it because we're going down just this horse movie rabbit hole because my wife has horses, so I have horses by extension. And we had them boarded at a stable kind of down the road. And then for the last year, basically, we've been like building out a barn on our property, fencing in paddocks, doing the whole thing. So now we got horses in our yard, which is
Oh,
just bananas.
awesome.
It's the craziest. It's not like I grew up in a very kind of remote part of Alaska. And if you had a horse, you were crazy or you were super rich and you could
Yeah.
keep that horse alive in the winter. 'Cause like having a horse in 40 below outside don't work. So the people that had horses were super fucking weird.
Yeah, the
Really
horses had
bizarre.
their own bedrooms and
Yeah,
watch Goonies.
they'd have like these double insulated airplane hangars and like these really elaborate setups. So like to
Wow.
me, the idea of horse access, not that that it wasn't even something I would aspire to,
Yeah.
no less think it was attainable, but here I am, horse dad. So we've just been watching westerns and like Tombstone absolutely ripped.
It's great. It holds up.
Dude, the body count.
I feel like one class I had in college, one of the lectures was just they played Tombstone and then like said a few words about it.
Was I in that class?
I'm not sure.
Because
I
I
mean,
know we.
as I insert you in most of my
Thank
prior
you.
memories just for the sake of completeness when we talk about these things,
We
but
took History of the American West together, and
Oh, that's cute.
yeah, that's not. I mean, that's not where we met. We met in a physics class, but
Probably a dorm room or a physics
well, we met in
class,
the dorm
yeah.
probably, but yeah. But the introduction to the West, we walked in one day late, I think, like with our skateboards, and like our professor was wearing a cowboy hat. And she had on Cortez the Killer by Neil
Cortez the
Young.
Killer. Yeah.
Oh
And she
God.
just let the whole thing play. It was great. It was a great start to class.
Yeah,
Damn.
that was epic. And I asked her to be my thesis advisor, and she was great.
Cool.
Yeah, she ended up being awesome.
Oh,
Hell yeah.
sweet. Shout out. Should we, Professor Morse? Are we allowed to name professors?
Well, I think so. Yeah,
Okay.
we might have to bleep it out in
I
case
might
it's
bleep it. Yeah.
repeated, but I don't know. We'll decide later.
Why couldn't you name a professor?
I
I
don't
guess
know.
that's true.
We bleep lots of stuff unnecessarily.
We do it in
No,
mostly other.
should I not have been swearing this whole fucking time?
We leave. I've
No,
left swears. Really, we just bleep like I always bleep the name of our college if we say it.
Fair.
I want us to be.
It's kind of a joke, mostly, I think.
I want to keep the appeal more universal, so everyone can kind of, we can be a identifying kind of body for the listener.
Was it in a state that rhymes with Assachusetts?
No.
No,
I'm just trying to think of a creative way to there.
no. It rhymes with Hermont. Yeah.
Oh, sick.
Yeah,
Germont.
it also it's cool.
Eric, can I give you a quick lightning round of
I figured that's what we'd been doing this whole time, but yeah, let's go.
I'm just taking us way off track. I'm gonna go because I'm curious what like accessibility is like at venues, and you don't have to do like a big long thing, but like it seems like a lot of venues are super inaccessible.
I could do a very big long thing about this if you'd like. This is something that, occupies at least a chunk of my brain.
Well, say as much as you'd like, because the next question is from my youngest, who wants to know what your favorite color is.
Oh, sick. Okay. Well, let me see if I can tie those together.
Okay.
If it's a new venue, come on. You're making choices, you got to make it work. If I'm doing like a Victorian era theater with an orc well, like an orchestral pit, and there's like a spiral staircase that goes down to the green room, it's been that way for hundreds of years. I'm not going to put up too much of a fight. But if we roll into a festival that's built on like a parking lot, just flat ground, every single point of inaccessibility is a choice that was made by someone at some point. So during my tenure in the band, I've been able to kind of see real change happen with some of those festivals. We encounter a green room that's in a trailer up a staircase the first year. I raise a little bit of hell with it, write a letter, reach out to the festival organizers. The next year, maybe there's a ramp, or maybe there's not. But the best thing that you can do is just kind of like move through the world and take notes. And I wish that every story could be like the story I'm about to tell. But there's a amphitheater in Winnipeg called the Burton Cummings Amphitheater. It's named after the singer of the great band, the Guess Who. I was so excited to go to a venue named after a dude from the Guess Who. I was so jacked. We show up. There's stairs at every single point of entrance. There's no green room for me. There's like weird stage access. So I had to wait in February in Winnipeg outside of like the theater stage door before I could go on. And I was out there for peeing in bottles and just freezing my ass off. Flash forward to must have been a year and a half ago now. It was like fall of 2022. I see it come up on Master Tour, like, ah shit, we're gonna be at the Burton Cummings in, 7 days. And I'm like, I'm just gonna stay on the bus. You guys call me when you need me. And my tour manager comes back in. She's like, you're gonna wanna see this. So they get some guys together, carry me off the bus. We go in, and they had built a ground level ADA green room with bathroom, stage access, the whole thing. And I was like, dude, this is incredible. And then I catch wind that it was because one of the managers or the talent buyers there saw what I went through the last time. So they got a grant from the Canadian government to do this build out
Whoa.
in this beautiful historic theater.
That's
I
super cool.
think
That's amazing.
I've got a lot of thoughts on this. I could go and go, but like that was if that's the only, change that I was able to sort of catalyze in my life, great. I'm done. That's amazing. But
Yeah.
there should be stories like that everywhere. And the fact that it was a grant provided by the government, like I don't know that we have anything like that, but It was like my heart grew 3 sizes that day for sure.
Nice, nice. And I guess part of the question too is just about like when you run into, I mean, you run into that and like the answer is you wait outside in the cold, right? Like that's ridiculous, but that's like that's how you dealt with that situation. Like, are there just a lot of cases where you have to just like figure it out? Like
Oh
there's,
yeah.
I'm, yeah.
Oh yeah. No, I've got the benefit of, a working crew that brings our entire production in, and all that shit's on wheels too. Everything's in big road cases, anvil cases. So the simple answer is if I have a good day, those guys are going to have a good day too. Because instead of lugging bass amplifiers up staircases, things just get pushed in, or there's a freight elevator or whatever it is. But yeah, we've had some wacky workarounds, man. Like this band has toured in Eastern Europe. We've toured in Russia, South America. There's a lot of stuff that's kind of sus, There's there was a forklift in Croatia once. there's been some wild, like carry him through the crowd, like Ben Hur, kind of situations. It's been some weird ones, man. But we make it work.
That's awesome.
I mean, that's it, right? Just adapting. And so how about that color?
I gotta go with dark green, like a good,
Dark green, nice.
like a British racing green.
Ooh,
Very
yeah.
cool.
Wow.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'm picturing
Honestly,
it. Yeah.
I know he's probably watching, but yeah, this is my favorite guitar, which happens to be in my favorite color. There you go.
Oh, nice. What's the guitar? Is it a
This is
ES-335?
a off-brand Univox. This is like a
Oh.
Japanese semi-hollow from the 70s, and not
Nice.
all of them are good, but this one is great.
Is that a Bigsby on there?
Yeah, it's like a fake Bigsby.
Fake, not off, yeah, nice Japanese Bigsby.
That's what they would call a lawsuit guitar back in the day, because it's just a
Yeah,
rip of a Gibson 335, but that one is particularly sweet.
but a Gibson 335 doesn't have a Bigsby fake or real, so
Leave it to the Japanese to figure that one out, man.
yeah. If you're gonna lawsuit it, why not upgrade it a little bit too?
I mean, yeah, that is lawsuits push innovation. That's the lesson that we learned in this podcast
That's right.
today. We
Oh,
always
man.
like to leave the dear listener, with at least one valuable nugget of wisdom.
I was worried we weren't
Very
going to get one, but there we,
good.
because we are low on time. We do record to a timer, so just so everyone knows, we
Oh no, I'm just running my mouth, and I didn't know that we were
No,
a ticking
nah,
time bomb.
this is I mean, I guess no, this is kind of what we do. So we appreciate you going along with it. And is that a P bass
Trevor wants to play
nugget?
the identifying gear too.
J bass, 73 J bass
Oh, a
with
J bass.
incredibly skinny neck. So
Oh, cool.
at some point, like 40 years ago, some guy decided to pull the binding off of it and shave it down. So
Wow.
it's super, super shreddy. This is a
That's
little ripper.
I love.
And
Are you gonna guess? Are you gonna guess the keyboard?
and is
No,
that a Korg? No, I was
there's a
gonna say,
micro Korg there. I've got a
yeah.
banjo really. That's a Roland D50, and that's a Mellotron.
The white thing, I was gonna ask, is that the mini
Yeah.
Mellotron or whatever it's?
It's a Memotron. So
How?
it's like the SD card, 90s Mellotron.
How is that? I was thinking of getting one of those.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, for film work, for vibe, for atmosphere, for all the stuff that I just did, like
Yeah.
everything in this room was just that Mellotron was like the glue, the gushy layer below everything.
Yeah, I just played a ton of Mellotron on a record I just finished, and I would just, I just discovered whatever it is to make it sound like Strawberry Fields.
Yeah,
And there you go.
the high flute with like
Yeah.
the A,
Oh
yeah.
man, so it's the best. Maybe I need to
It's
get.
nuts. Yeah,
I didn't think about it till I was in the
the
studio. Yeah.
pitch, the tunability, all that stuff. This has a bunch of really cheesy, digital effects that you would never use in a billion years, but it's nice that they tried,
Yeah.
Good interface.
That's awesome.
What else can I advertise in here?
It's funny because we are not going to share this as a video podcast, so I like that we're just naming things that the listener can't see.
Oh yeah, that was great.
I feel like we should try to get a clip of your background, Eric, you and your background. That would make a nice sort of cover for our episode.
Yeah, where should I go?
I don't know. Oh, this would be great. If you want to pose, that would be like a live shot. And then, I don't know, Dave, do you have the ability to do a
Yeah, I mean the video is recording. I usually just throw it out, but yeah, we have all the video. So
Oh, we do have the video. Oh, okay. So you can like take like a screen grab. That's cool.
for
Just no,
sure.
just do the boomer thing and take a photo with your phone of the computer screen.
I
Oh,
will.
yeah.
I will do that. That's a better. That's a be what that that's a that's a joke, but it's also a better idea. All right, there we go.
All
Count it.
right,
That's what people
we got
like.
it. We got it. Yeah.
Did everyone remember to do the millennial pause? You know the millennial pause?
No, I was just trying to pause, but I don't know what
It's a thing that young people make fun of millennials for doing. Like, and I by young, I guess I mean Zoomers. I don't know. And that when you start like a video, that there's like they pause to make sure it's recording, and then they start talking.
We do that. That's
Yeah,
true. I said do. So they
yeah.
can make fun of me for that too.
They'll enjoy that. That's their kind of
Just
humor. So.
same kids, man. They're too quick.
Edit.
Quick edit. If only we knew how. Yeah.
Maybe we can convert this to a PDF. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. How do I open this PDF podcast episode?
Know, man. That's I
Yeah.
play music. I'm gonna
This
find a younger person to ask after this.
my McAfee is definitely gonna like flag this as totally sus.
I get emails about my McAfee every day. At some point, I'm gonna
Yeah. I was gonna say I'm not renewing whatever they want me to renew.
whatever the hell it is.
I don't care.
I'll
Yeah,
fire
good.
and erase this all, man. As
Goodbye.
long as it doesn't affect this podcast,
Goodbye. I mean, we probably just lost McAfee as a sponsor, but
Did you guys
we're
want
still working. We're still working on Bobo's, so.
Yeah.
Sure. Did you guys want to talk about running, or like, did we get so off topic here?
I think we talked about the bike lane ride
We
with the
covered it,
yeah, that's kind of running. I mean, we only have 2.5 minutes, so I should
I think take it for any comments, running or otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, the Northwest has been very kind to me. Because we've moved from Seattle and then to Tacoma and now here, like, I always miss the trail that I left behind that I fall in love with. In Seattle, there was just such an incredible waterfront run. Tacoma had this run called 5 Mile, which is just like the perfect amount of rolling hills through deep forest. And it's got a kick-ass waterfront, but I'm figuring them out here. There's a trail outside the town of Scappoose called the Crown Zellerbach. That's an old logging road, and it's
Nice.
fantastic. But yeah, I love finding my little 5 mile stretch in any town that I go to.
Oh yeah, and they're
All right,
everywhere.
we talked about it. We're
Yeah,
good.
exactly. We checked the box, so
I mean, some special guests, if you feel like there's more to the conversation, we're very happy to have you back on. So
well.
we just so much appreciate you joining, and yeah, it was great to talk to you.
Great hanging out in this non-air-conditioned basement, talking to my new bros about
Hells
running
yeah.
and not
And
running. I
you're
was
in
gonna say,
Boston. You're coming to Boston soon,
oh,
right? September.
you tell me, man. I
I
just
think
work
I
here.
think you might be playing
Go where they
you
tell
might be
you.
playing the Roadrunner. I don't know.
Sick.
What's
That's
that? Is
awesome.
that a venue?
I think it's a venue. Yeah. I think it might be down by Fenway. Or
Oh yeah,
else
it used to be like the Avalon or Axis or one of those. It's
or like
House of Blues, is it?
or House of Blues, yeah.
Yeah, we did that. We did that room. That's a good room. Yeah, this is an advertisement for that.
Yeah.
Let's do
There you go. We do like to give our special guests, like, if there's anything you'd want to plug, music or life or anything,
all of
wisdom.
it, man. I'm never gonna stop. Just buy local.
Buy
Do
local, go to shows at the Avalon like I did in the 90s when I lived in the
the
suburbs of
Avalon?
Boston.
Avalon was kick ass. We were on tour with this band called Morningwood back in the day, and singer broke her leg. And so we ended up doing like 2 weeks of clubs in Alston, like John Henry's and all that kind of stuff. Oh no, running out. This is all to say, like the Sinclair. I love Boston venues. I love playing in Boston. I love Boston crowds. So shout out to Boston with my last 5 seconds.
Woo, Eric, thanks so much.
Amazing. Thanks, Eric.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Thanks so much, Eric, for joining us. That was a really awesome chat, and we squeezed everything in just before time ran out.
Yes, right down to the wire. I think Eric, we could have done a better job advising about our 40-minute Zoom limitation, but something that's just the world we live in.
Yeah, I think part of the format is that people don't know the format exactly, and we don't prep them properly.
There are certain special guests, like special guest William Harries Graham, who actually listened to episodes in advance. Not
Yeah.
advisable for most future special guests. Not part of the formula necessarily, but dear William did it and still joined, and he kind of knew what to expect.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I'm always kind of shocked and pleasantly surprised and flattered, even though it's not crazy, of course, that if you come on a podcast, you would listen to it. But I'm still always like, oh, thanks. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my reaction. I'm like, wow. Even though if I was on a podcast, well, I don't, I shouldn't say that. I've been on podcast as a guest before and I usually don't listen.
We've done a fantastic job getting amazing special guests, and the way we get future listeners is by like getting special guests.
Yeah, by having them on and then they'll listen because they're like, wow, this is a pretty cool thing.
They will listen. They
Yeah.
themselves only. Not saying this is like a grand like ploy to get all their fans and listeners. It's like literally we just pick them off one at a time. It's like, well, maybe William's like kind of a listener now.
Like, yeah.
That was a success.
Great crew of listeners.
And special guests. Yep,
Yeah.
listeners and special guests. We come back to that frequently, but it's always worth a good mention.
Yeah. So a great chat. The only disappointing part was that we haven't moved forward on our quest to find Dave Rawlings.
We have not, but I feel like Eric did have a lot of very interesting perspective on running, and I loved his night running and the running he's doing, like plotting out local areas,
Yeah.
and it all sounds super cool. So
Yeah,
thank you again, Eric.
and finally somebody calling me out on my Indianapolis hate. I've been running my mouth, running my feet and running my mouth way too much. So somebody tells it like it is, who probably knows the city better than me. And not a Pacers lover.
Not a Pacers lover, but still loves Indianapolis, which is saying a lot about the city. And I think, it's all like, everybody's perspective, it's all unique.
Yeah, exactly. And I stumbled upon that great little jazz bar in Indianapolis, and I wasn't there very long. I probably didn't stumble upon lots of other great small places.
You're grasping at that point for an association that perhaps Eric might know, also know the jazz bar,
Yeah.
and he did not.
Eric, of course, does night rolls in so many different small cities around the world on many nights a year. So every city, looks the same in that sense. So,
That particular jazz bar was not memorable enough, but nonetheless, it was a great chat.
yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I guess I got a couple things here. I got a mailbag.
Oh, let's do it. That's my favorite part of the show after special guests.
All right, so there was a listener that asked, how do I prevent my knees from getting injured when running in the long term? I hear strength training around the knees and hips is important. How true is that? What other things can I do to keep my knees supple in spite of running?
Love the word choice. It's a great question for a number of reasons. Certainly a good question for a more knowledgeable podcast, but we'll try fielding it anyway.
Yeah, why don't we go for it?
I think strength training, that's what the experts usually do recommend, right?
I think that's right. I think strength training around sort of calves and quads and other parts sort of surrounding the knees, even like ankles, I feel like I'm into it.
Sure.
I would say see your physio and do what they say.
Sometimes when I'm at the gym, I'll see somebody standing on that like half of a ball that's attached
Oh
to a
yeah.
board, and they'll be doing some sort of one-legged dip.
Yeah.
And like, maybe that's good. Maybe go if next time you see someone doing that, walk up to them and ask them what they're doing it for, and if it's to strengthen their joints so they don't mess up their knees running.
Yeah. And I feel like our Maple Valley episode with Hillary McCloy, special guest, an actual physical therapist, might be another good reference point.
Yeah, the answer is actually probably in that episode somewhere.
Yeah.
And then another piece of advice that you and I talked about in early episodes is this is goes against some of what we said in our talk with Eric about access and spending a lot on gear, but having a nice pair of shoes really does help your knees. At least it did Me, I used to run in the same pair of old New Balances for I think about 30 years, it felt like.
That's true. Yeah,
Yeah.
no, it's a good piece of advice that's worth reiterating, especially to young folks that might not have heard it yet.
Yeah.
I think you're right. 300 to 400 miles is kind of where the shoes start to break down and you begin to introduce risk of injury.
Yeah, and then I always used to say I didn't think I could run the long distances because of my knees. And the other thing that helped me a lot, and this is going along with my theme of really unaffordable things, is I've talked about this. I got really into the stair machine at the gym for a while, and
Yeah.
Stairmaster I think strengthened my legs a lot in a way that's similar to running. That when I then started running long distances again, my legs were just in much better shape to handle it.
I think the thing that helped me the most, because I didn't think I could run, I thought my knees were shot and it was just going super slow. I'm going to throw
Yeah.
that advice out there again. Just go wicked slow at the start and just kind of move and that's where the do what feels right,
Yeah.
does come in. Don't push it. There's actually like more to be gained by just sort of the steady, slow progress, and eventually you get stronger and your fitness gets better. And the knees haven't been an issue for me, knock on wood, in quite a few years.
Yeah, and that actually butts up against a piece of advice I was giving somebody who gave me kind of a face-to-face mailbag question.
Oh, okay.
And it was just kind of supporting the run walk alternation method for getting better at distances. I believe that's
Yeah.
the Jeff Galloway method, right? A friend of the pod, famous marathon runner.
I also employ the method.
Yeah, it's proven, and it's possibly good for knee health as well. So
Yeah.
that's a really long answer we just gave to a question, considering how little expertise we have.
Yeah. And I guess a reminder to, check out other more knowledgeable podcasts and therapists and the
Yeah.
like for actual advice.
Mailbag is for entertainment purposes only. That's a disclaimer that our team of lawyers told us we have to say.
I guess one quick run update, and
Let's do it.
then I want to pop over to the gear shed real quick.
Good. Me too.
Okay, so I did. This was kind of more of a march. An unnamed sort of non-listener joined the historical society of his town and found sort of the we're in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
The Minutemen sort of marched from his town to Lexington, and the way the actual route was very sort of jagged because they kept on like getting called in one area and then they were like, oh no, come over here. And the whole thing was it was what runners might call a contrived route, and also like kind of impossible to sort of recreate probably
Yeah.
in modern days. So, but with that inspiration, unnamed non-listener decided we should go from his house in
Shout out Andover, Massachusetts.
Andover, Massachusetts, to mine in Sudbury, and we did it. We did the roughly a little shy of 35 miles,
Gonna say,
our first 50K.
wow, congratulations. That's a distance.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a distance. It was a distance achievement. And I think, like, what do they say in football when, like, I don't know, the receiver like makes like a football motion or whatever after like catching a ball or something?
Yeah, like a football move, I think they call it.
Yeah, do they make a football move? There were like some running moves involved in this adventure, but very little actual running. A little bit of jogging, mostly like sort of power walk, power hike. 15-minute miles to start, which actually felt like a pretty good clip, and a couple stops for food and beverage, nourishment and calories, and the whole thing was great. It was great ambulation.
Probably all of those things you just said are exactly what the Minutemen themselves did.
Exactly.
15-minute pace, stopping for nourishment. Uh, they probably
Yeah.
they probably stopped to set up camp too and to sleep. And where would they sleep? I don't know. In
Yeah.
Bedford? I don't know. What's it?
That was one of those routes they used to do in like 2 or 3 days, and now
Yeah.
we've condensed it fast and light. Just stop at the now available restaurants when you need to eat and things like that. get coffee.
You probably had lighter shoes and no cast iron hanging off of your backpack.
we had no need for
Yeah.
weapon. There was a, I mean, for God's sake, there was a poetry phone on the route.
Wow, times have changed.
Yeah, I mean, it was, yeah, there was literally a phone that you pick up, you choose a number, and it reads you a poem.
Wow. I think it's safe to say Massachusetts has never not seen a better year than 2025.
Yeah, so we did the whole Bruce Freeman rail trail north to south, FKT, as far as we're aware.
Yeah.
It's the only time we're aware of.
Someone's got to establish it, right?
I guess we can establish it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's gonna look funny when the route veers off the rail trail momentarily to hit the Rapscallion Brew Pub.
That is very much like what the Minutemen would have done, though.
Yeah, it's but you know, it's all part of it. So we'll see. So what do you think? Should we march on over to the gear shed?
Yeah, let's march on over. I'm gonna put in marching sound effects here.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right, here we are in the gear shed.
Okay. What do you got, Dave?
Oh, I'm doing the gear shed. Well, I didn't know this was me, but I've been trying to find a new pair of shoes, and because I'm very disappointed with how ugly the Saucony Endorphin Speed Fives are,
Ooh,
so I haven't
okay.
ordered a pair because I'm like, I ran today in my Endorphin Speed Fours that I ran the New York Marathon in back, getting close to a year ago now. It's not the only shoe I've been running in, but they're getting kind of worn out, and I need a new race day shoe. But I don't know. They don't look good. The fives.
Are you reaching out to listeners and to the community, or do you have some ideas?
No, I have no ideas. I would love a suggestion. I've looked at all the. I saw like a Puma that was suggested by some internet site, and I looked it up, and it was first of all it was $300 on the Puma
Oh.
website, and second of all it was sold out. So I couldn't even be tempted to spend three times, a reasonable price on a pair of shoes. So now I don't know what to do. I guess there's always Nike, but there's so many Nike plate shoes that I don't even know which one to get. They all have almost the same name.
I'd say look up whatever special guest Tim Ball is running in,
Yeah.
and then get like a version or two like lower than that.
Think I also read a while back that Saucony was designing, not Saucony, Salomon was designing a running shoe specifically for slower marathon runners.
Ooh.
Yeah, maybe I should
I mean,
investigate that.
this is right in our wheelhouse. I mean, I could throw off some random ideas, but I think we leave this to the listener.
All right, this is one for the listeners. We're doing it. This is the old reverse mailbag cry for help. Please let us know what I should run in, or if I should just suck it up and get an ugly pair of Saucony Endorphin Speed Fives.
And you know, over in the other corner of the gear shed, I dug this. I dug the damnedest thing up.
Yeah, what'd you find?
I found a dragonfly clip, which you can attach to hat or other clothing.
What is that?
It's technically a like a garden ornament.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Not marketed as a running gear.
No, it's not a running gear yet. They don't have like the CLA version of it.
This is you're prescribing this off label.
Off label, completely like full Amazon, which I don't usually do. I'm very sort of not pro Amazon,
Yeah.
let's say. But in this case, you could get any sort of dragonfly lawn ornament and attach it to your hat.
Okay. Cool.
And it prevents deer flies.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
And I found in my testing, you also get a lot of compliments. You walk into a store, one store thought a dragonfly was actually following me, got a comment on that. You know, sort of employees of stores say things like, "I really like your dragonfly," or "nice hat," and
Nice
things of that
dragonfly
nature.
hat.
Yeah, like that's cool. I like that. What's that all about? So it was a really good run.
Oh, good.
It was a
Okay.
good test run.
What was our old rating system for the gear shed?
I think it was up to
Three units.
three units.
Yeah, three units for the Dragonfly head.
Oh, for sure.
Off brand.
Off brand dragonfly, the cure for deer flies that we've all been waiting for.
Finally, modern science has caught up to the needs of modern man.
Yeah, because the mosquitoes and deer flies and stuff think the dragonfly is gonna eat them, so they stay away from you.
It's like a scarecrow.
Yeah.
I like that.
And
Yeah.
when you're running and it's moving around, then it simulates more dragonfly-like movements too, and increases the effectiveness.
And so that probably entertains everyone around as well, besides the effectiveness.
It does, yeah.
All right. Well, I love this idea, and I'm gonna endorse it myself, give it my endorsement as well. And next time I go running, I'm gonna put one of those fake owls on my shoulder that's used to scare off rats, and see how that works, because I run around New York City, and so sometimes you do see a rat.
Yeah.
And he's more afraid of you than you are of him, but he'd be way more afraid of you if you had an owl on your shoulder, because
Well,
people don't swoop down and pick up the rats with their mouth, but the owl sure does. Or maybe it's with his feet, but whatever.
yeah. Just come talk to us when you have to do the coyote attachment.
Yeah, we'll save that for the season finale. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's a good place to leave it. And for the we'll cover this more next time. I'm sure we'll hear about this in the mailbag, and I'm sure our lawyers will have a couple of things to say to us about it. But until next time.
Onward.
Special guest.
This is Eric Hawk from Portugal the Man.
This is the Power Mode.